Buried in the depths of the purposes of God lies the answer to this question. Why did God send His Son to the cross? As we run life's daily race, let's not forget that mercy is getting what you don't deserve. God was not obligated to save any of us, and yet He has. Today, we begin an awesome look at how far God went to provide redemption for a lost mankind. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today in his series on Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't, Erwin Lutzer begins message number 5 by turning our attention to the cross, the suffering of God.
God cares about the world. Now there's a statement that is part of evangelical theology. Everyone knows that God cares about the world. But what if you meet a skeptic, somebody who doesn't believe that? To what are you going to point? You're going to point to nature and say, well, God gives us rain and sun and crops so that we can eat. Well, that's wonderful, but nature also gives us tornadoes and floods and hailstorms and earthquakes that devastate and that tear and drought. You can't look at nature and believe that God loves us. You're going to point to other human beings and say, well, we know that God loves the world because we see love in others, and therefore there must be love in God. Well, you know, you and I know that for every person who is generous, there's one who is not generous, somebody who is stingy and greedy and small-minded. We read the newspaper and we look at television and we see all of the devastation, the wars, the heartache, the terrible things that have been done by human beings, and nobody can convince me that God is love just because I look at a person or persons. Where do we look when we see love and say, that's it, it's there? There's only one point at which we can do that, and that is the cross. It's the cross. Because it is there at the cross that God overcame our skepticism. It is there that God demonstrated His love toward us finally and completely and unambiguously. Now, we live in a very cynical age, don't we? There are many people who believe that Christianity has failed the world, and they think that we have to get a new religion. And some of us struggle because we see that God does not intervene in the heartaches of life, and we're tempted to wonder what kind of a God is it in whom we have come to trust. I agree completely with C.S. Lewis when he said that his fear is not to wake up some morning and disbelieve in God. That will probably not happen, Lewis says. His greater fear is to wake up and realize that he believes such dreadful things about Him. That's our problem. Have not all of us, as we have seen the carnage of this world and we've seen the suffering and the injustice, sometimes cried out in the depths of our heart, oh God, You can't really care. You don't care. We've all said it, have we not? And yet we are commanded to take the cross into the world, and that is the emphasis in this series of messages. What kind of a cross do we set before the world? What do we say to a world who says that I don't matter, people say? How can we look them in the eye and say, yes, you matter because God cares? Well, today we're going to hopefully see why the cross of Christ is the answer to the inner turmoil of finding a God to whom we really do matter. Now, as we go on this journey, I'm going to begin with some very familiar territory, but as we progress, the territory will become more unfamiliar, I believe. And I want you to be with me all the way. Don't stop to smell the flowers along the way. Stick with us. First of all, two very familiar passages of Scripture, and then I shall ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. In fact, if you wish to, You can turn to Isaiah 53 right now. But two familiar passages. The first is 2 Corinthians 5:19. Just listen to it. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And then another. He bore in his own body our sins upon the tree. So I look at Isaiah chapter 53. I see three descriptive words. They are not found in the text, but they are words that describe what is happening here. A passage of scripture which someone says Isaiah wrote as if he were sitting at the very foot of the cross. And there he sits and he writes about Jesus Christ dying there for us. The first word that I see is the word substitution. Substitution. Now, you know, of course, that the idea of substitution is found throughout the whole Bible. In the early chapters of Genesis, when God killed animals and clothed Adam and Eve, those animals were a substitute. They died so that Adam and Eve would have a covering. And then you get to Isaac. Abraham was willing to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, and when he found a ram instead, the scripture says he offered the ram in the place of his son, a type of Jesus Christ who is to come. And we get to the Passover, and the lamb that was slain and the blood that was put upon the doorpost of the houses, that lamb was killed in the place of the firstborn. But of course, lambs and rams do not take away sin. Only God can do that. And so here we have now the language of substitution. I pick it up in verse 3. Speaking of Christ, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. He did it for us. Now, when God looked around, if we may use human language, and was looking for a substitute for humanity, animals couldn't do it. Human beings couldn't do it. God says that he is going to have to do it himself. If mankind is to have a qualified substitute, the Son of God will have to pay the penalty so that that penalty will be sufficient. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. An author by the name of Canfield wrote, God proposed to direct against his very own self in the person of his Son the full weight of the righteous wrath which we deserved. You see, God became both a judge and the substitute. He condemned us, he pointed out our sin, and then he paid for the sin that he brought to our attention. That's the heart of the gospel. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, isn't it true that just a week or two ago, there was a woman who threw herself over the body of her son as the car was coming toward her and she was killed and the son lived? That's substitution. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy open bosom was its ward. It braved the storm. For me, Christ took the hit that belongs to us. And that's the essence of the gospel. Yesterday, coming back from St. Louis on an airplane, God put me next to a woman who needed to hear this. Had a wonderful talk about her life, but it soon drifted to Christ. And she said, how can you be so sure that if this plane goes down, you're going to be in heaven? Where does the assurance lie? She was a good woman. I told her lovingly, she was a good woman, but not good enough for God, that she needed to trust Christ. Wherein is the assurance? I said, it is the deep, settled conviction that when Jesus died on the cross, he did everything that God will ever demand of me. And that there is nothing that God will demand that Christ has not already done on my behalf. And I have embraced that as my own. Now that is assurance. It's the language of substitution. There's a second descriptive word for Isaiah 53, and that is the word submission. Submission. Speaking of Christ, it says in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Now, when the Bible says that Jesus went to his death like a lamb, don't think that this means that Jesus was as weak as a lamb. No. He had all kinds of options that he didn't take. But it was the symbol of submission. He submitted to the will of the Father, and he submitted, therefore, to the violence and to the injustice and to the cruelty of man, and allowed himself to be nailed to the cross without so much as really a whimper. He did not try to get out of the cross on which he knew he must die. And my friend, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't try to get away from the cross upon which he must die? This is Pastor Lutzer. We're living at a very interesting time of history, but I need to share with you that I believe that the evangelical church today has left behind the message of the cross. You know, when you turn on television and you watch the various preachers, how many of them have a cross-centered ministry? We're told oftentimes how we can become rich or how Christianity will help us become a better father or a better businessman. And all that perhaps has its place. But the message that is going to transform America, if America is ever transformed, is the good news of the gospel lived out through your life and through mine. Yes, my friend, in the midst of the political buzz, if I can call it that, and the anticipation of the election that is coming up in November, let us remember that our priorities are different. First, we are committed to the good news of the gospel. Which leads me to say this. There are many of you who are listening to this broadcast who listen today who have never savingly believed on Jesus. Or perhaps you have doubts, the subject that I addressed just a few moments ago. You wonder, how can I have the assurance? Let me explain it for you one more time. If you believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did all that ever will be necessary for you to stand in God's presence, because he met all of God's demands. If you believe that, and if you embrace it for yourself, you will be saved. Today, get saved. Believe on Jesus, the only Savior of the world.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Erwin Lutzer with part one of The Cross, The Suffering of God, another message in his series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. In sorting out how to mix faith and politics, we all need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.